Hello, flight testers. Thanks for tuning in to episode 51 of the Flight Test Podcast. We tried something brand new for this podcast, and we did a video segment of the podcast. You can watch the podcast in its entirety in HD video by going to flighttest.com/podcasts. This is something new that we're trying. I doubt we'll do it every time, but who knows? Maybe we'll try it once a month, depending on how the feedback goes. If you guys don't like it at all, who knows? Maybe we'll never do it again. This podcast is supported by Amazon.com. If you go to flighttest.com/podcasts and click on episode 51, there's an Amazon banner at the top of the page. If you click that banner and then shop on Amazon as you typically would for something that you would buy anyway, at no additional cost to you, a small portion of the proceeds from your purchase goes to Flight Test. Our goal is to use these proceeds to buy some new pop filters for the Flight Test podcast to make the audio quality a little bit better. So the amount that is given to Flight Test isn't a lot, but hopefully we can make it enough to really impact the show in a positive way for you guys and to increase the quality just a little bit. So I hope you enjoy this, and again, please give your feedback on the video portion, and hopefully it's something we'll try again. Thanks and enjoy.
I ripped my pants.
So we already got a half hour recorded.
That's
so
great.
Beautiful. Oh, perfect. Well, everyone, it's been great. Hope you enjoyed this podcast.
Yes, thank you for listening.
I'm going to go to the bathroom real quick. I'll be right back.
Oh, yeah. Hey, we're only, how many days late are we?
Right now, we're 4 days late, I think.
That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah, or are we early for next week?
It's hard to say. Well, next week is Chris, so.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, we may as well just wait till Friday now. No, actually, we're not going to do that, and the reason being is that we respect our listeners too much.
Yeah, sorry guys for the delay.
We don't respect you enough, apparently, to get it out on time, but we do respect you enough to release it. We're not going to cut you guys short an episode just because we're late.
And it was our fault. Yeah. Josh and my fault. And Peter, it's your fault, too.
No, I'm not taking blame for that.
We're going down together.
Austin was in Disneyland with
Disney
his family.
Disney World.
Having fun with Mickey.
And we promised Austin that we would do a podcast while he was gone, and we failed.
In my defense, though, I did remember about it, but it was Sunday.
On the plus side, though, we got 4 episodes shot.
We did.
Which is pretty good for one day.
It wasn't
not
really
bad at all.
Wasn't that 2 days?
It was 2 days.
Yeah. 2 days, but go. Yeah.
Liar.
It felt like one day.
Felt like one day.
No. Yeah, I mean, I was hoping to come in here and say, wow, you know, the last podcast was the only official Flight Test podcast that I wasn't a part of. But now I can't say that.
Hey, are you looking at your iPad? Can I look at my phone?
I'm not looking
at
the iPad.
No, you can't look at
your
phone.
Both of you, give me your iPhone. Uh-huh. Give me your iPad.
I was looking at the coffee cup.
You guys need to focus. So we're going to be talking about a couple different things today. The first one is actually, off the bat, can we play a voicemail real quick, Alex?
Yes.
Just to set the tone?
You don't have to ask me for permission.
Please, Alex. Please. All right, here we go. Maybe. Nope.
Nothing? Oh, it might be this one.
We'll plug in the other thing. Please hold.
Oh, wow, it's still hot.
There we go, that's better.
All right. What are you doing? Just let everybody know what you're talking about, Josh.
Oh, I had coffee.
So that was our very first voicemail, and his question is, can you do a video podcast?
Is this what this is?
This is a video podcast.
So it's like a video and a podcast put together.
I'm not sure exactly what we're going to do with the video yet, but for the first time ever, we're going to try actually filming it.
Is that why we have Dave Knopf to my right and a GoPro to my left?
Yep, and a swivel chair and all that fun stuff. Wow. So yeah.
Can I look at him?
Yeah, please do.
I was just ignoring him because I wasn't sure if I was supposed to look at him or not. So now I felt kind of rude.
So this is something that people have asked us to do for a while. Mm-hmm. Just throw up a GoPro and just see how it goes. And just so people can kind of see. I mean, actually, I have listened to podcasts before, like on YouTube. But what I do is even if their faces or whatever are on the screen, most of the time I'll watch like 20% of it. And then I'll... I'll just like open another tab and do something else and just listen to it while it plays. So
yeah.
You can either watch our faces or you can go browse something else and, you know, do whatever you want. Yeah. So I'm not,
really not that good looking.
So. Do I have espresso beans in my teeth?
No, you don't, but now I'm kind of hungry for them.
How about me? So.
Yes.
Yeah, you actually do.
Great.
My wonderful wife made chocolate-covered espresso beans, and I shared them with everybody.
She made those?
No, she brought them from Amish country.
Oh.
Every time she goes to Amish country, she brings back
Yeah, those
bunch.
Are good.
But somebody made them.
They're awesome.
That's the important thing. So,
sorry to derail.
That's okay. I'm not sure we were even on a rail, so.
No.
Oh, that was me. Sorry about that.
Was that what that was?
That was loud.
That means we're getting off topic.
We are in a crazy punchy mood today.
Anytime,
it's all the coffee beans.
Anytime we get off topic, we're off topic again.
Oh my gosh, let's get off topic before people turn us off.
All right, I think Alex, you pitched what we were going to talk about today. Basically, we wanted to talk about what's coming up. So, Alex, what's coming up?
Alex is married, by the way.
Yeah, I have a wife.
Oh, this is your first podcast since you got back from honeymoon.
Is it?
Yeah. Sure. I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah, it really is. Mm-hmm. I think so.
Anyways, what's coming up in flight test?
What's coming up in flight test?
Which we have all kinds of things on the horizon. As you probably know from the last podcast, the minis mm-hmm. are here.
Minis were huge. We sold a lot of minis.
Yeah, there's a ton of minis out there in the world.
Yeah, yeah. All over the world.
We've sold more minis than any other plane released before.
Yes.
Is that right, Josh?
That is absolutely right.
In the first couple weeks.
Almost times two.
Yeah.
It's been absolutely hysterical. At one point, all four of our lasers were running minis, mm-hmm. which is crazy. And there's a laser at home, and that one was even running parts for the minis.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
If you were one of the ones that purchased a mini, thank you, first off. But yeah. Second off, let us know. Post mm-hmm. your flight videos, post videos of it flying, or even a build. Share your experience, because we really, really value that feedback. Mm-hmm. We want to know what you like, what you don't like, because we got a lot more designs coming your way. Oh, and speaking of which, you guys have, mm-hmm. Peter and Josh, you guys have been working pretty tirelessly on...
We've had a fun week.
It's been pretty intense.
Yeah.
What have you guys been working on?
Peter, you want to go first?
Twin-engine cargo planes.
Yep, and I'm working on a mini cruiser.
So, Peter's infamous cargo plane, we found a particle beam that would actually shrink it to a smaller size.
It even made a cool noise, like, wah, 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 wah.
You mean a microwave?
That's better.
I don't know what it's called, but...
A microwave?
It did make it smaller. So, what's the wingspan, roughly, on your mini cargo?
Josh?
Approximately.
I think. I want to say it's...
30-some inches, probably.
30, yeah, it's actually not that small.
It's probably, 32 or 34.
32, 33 inches?
Yeah, something like that.
I want to go out and measure it right
now. It's like a mighty medium-sized plane.
Yeah, and hats off to Peter, by the way, because his heart's been to bring this design here. Mm-hmm. And to let another guy touch his design is kind of a crazy thing. And he let us shrink it down and go crazy. And, dude, you have an amazingly sick airplane. That thing, we fly it every day.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I just can't resist it laying on the roof, laying on the windowsill, hitting things with it.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I crashed and inverted in the snow, and it's just fine because it's so small.
I do have to say I haven't built a plane in a while, but I think I'm going to build a mini cargo.
Yeah.
Actually, Josh, the other day you were like, you know what? I don't even think I want to do this cruiser anymore because I just want to fly the cargo flight.
Hey, you're ruining his sales.
I talked him back into it because they're both very good at what they do differently. And the cruiser, I think, is a little bit more sleeker, fast design, whereas the cargo plane's like a big flying bus through the air. They both have their strengths and weaknesses. So
Peter's cargo definitely excels, even in the mini version. It feels just like your big one.
Yeah,
which
that's
is
just
phenomenal.
Hoping because we had the 50%er, didn't we?
We went down to 50. It was a little rocket ship.
That was too bad. That was not really even sellable because most people couldn't be able to fly that the way it flew.
A little bit of a handful.
Yeah, I think it's 63.5% is what it ended up being, something like that. But we kept on moving things around to try to make it repeatable. But the cool thing with Peter's is, like you said, the high alpha. The fun,
the
way
hovering.
You can just the hovering, the things you can do to this thing.
It's like a 3D plane.
Yeah, and especially you can put cargo in it. Mm-hmm. And this stark contrast to the cruiser is the cruiser has really sleek performance, you know, long, graceful lines. Because of the differential thrust, the pinwheels and the flat spins are absolutely
tighter on yours.
Yeah, they're hysterically fast. But that's probably because of the tiny little rudder on it. That's this little, tiny little rudder. But it flies good, and it's gentle, but... My tastes are more functional and hardcore hauling. I think there'll be a market for both of them, but I'm really excited to see them come out. And the cool thing after that is we're going to be doing another version of the Electra Hub called the Electra Hub Pro. And that'll go from race quads all the way up to some really complicated advanced configurations.
I'm looking forward to that. It's gonna be fun. You threw a prototype together. It's all made out of wood currently, but eventually it's going to be G10 with power distribution built in, maybe some LEDs and stuff like that.
You got a PCB board.
Yeah, and definitely looking forward to that. It's going to be similar to the regular Electro Hub, but a little bit more versatile.
Yeah.
You can use it all the way down to small little mini race quads all the way up to whatever you want to go.
And we focus around, you really like the motors that run the 6-inch blades. It'll fly on the ones with 5-inch, but we tested it with just simple mini H configuration, and I love it with the 1/2-inch gap in there because you can get everything inside of it.
Yeah.
And the thing is just a rocket ship.
Actually, Matt Eliash from Flight Fest, he left these pink flamingos, and we've had
enough. First mistake.
He challenged us to make those fly, and I don't think he thought that we would actually do it, but those flamingos have quite a bit of flight time now. they have quite a bit of quite a few hours in the air.
Right after Flight Fest, I took a week's vacation with my family, just kind of catch up, and we had a great time. Well, I was building a treehouse with my boys. You guys were flying flamingos in the backyard.
And flipping flamingos.
Flipping flamingos. You were flipping the bird, but not in a bad way.
Such a productive day at the office.
Yeah, it was hysterical, and maybe someday the footage will kind of reappear, won't it?
Yeah, well, speaking of other things that are upcoming for flight test,
we have something coming out this Christmas. And we don't mean like around Christmas. It's coming out Christmas Day.
Christmas Day. Are you really?
Yeah. It's going to launch Christmas Day.
Wow.
So some of you might see a button on the homepage of flighttest.com.
Is it the one that says coming soon?
It says coming soon, and it says FT Extra.
Extra.
Extra, extra, extra. And so that button's been inactive ever since we did the flighttest.com reboot, redesign.
Mm-hmm.
When did that launch? In like July or August?
July?
I don't know. April? Time flies when you're
June,
having
maybe.
Fun. Yeah. Anyway, when the flighttest.com redesign launched, we put that button there because we knew we were going to be putting something there in the near future, and that is coming to fruition now. So a lot of interesting things, such as the flamingo flight, may be finding its way to the interwebs.
Yes, as well as many other things.
Yes.
We wouldn't be lying about it. It's going
to
be in there.
Yeah, also we decided Max... the dog, who's actually our HR department.
Yes.
We figured we'd also put him to work as a cameraman. So
yeah, you're going to see every one of our butts.
I don't know how much I'm supposed to be saying about FT Extra.
Well, and I think it's okay to stay a little bit ambiguous, but let's just say...
Quit spoiling the surprise.
From December 25th until whenever you have to go back to work, you might have some things to do.
Yeah.
Put it that way.
Some time to kill.
Some entertainment. All right, we should probably move on.
It's getting awkward.
So
everyone's getting that Grinch smile. Like
we're just excited about it, and we're in full tilt, getting ready for it. And so it's hard not to talk about things we're neck deep in. So
And Austin, I think you were the pioneer of this. So hats off to you, man, for all your hard work and making this a reality.
Yeah, no
the
problem.
Thing that we're talking about, but not talking too much about.
Yeah, and we'll do a podcast all about it once it's launched. Mm-hmm. But we want to let you guys know something really exciting is coming down the pipeline, and I think you're going to like it.
Speaking of something else that's coming up that we can't really talk about too much because Lee's not here.
Yeah.
But FT Connections, and if the past two episodes, actually the episode that's going out tomorrow, and the episode that went out yesterday are all based around Mesa RC Foam Fighters.
Such a great group of people. Jake Marshall is the gentleman that heads that up. And we'll definitely kind of hit around this, but I think people know our heart. We want to bring and exploit this hobby. Obviously, with schools, the educational element, with clubs and groups and churches, the social element, and building relationships. And it's really taken form quicker than we ever imagined.
Yeah.
And those kids at RC Mesa Foam Fighters are just incredible.
Yes.
Humbling. And it's hard to communicate what it looks like until you see the video.
Mm-hmm.
And Lee did a great job. We just used his iPhone. He had a new iPhone.
Yeah, props to you guys for making that happen and capturing it on video.
Fun.
Turn it into an episode because that was not planned.
No, I wish we could have brought everyone down there, but I never intend. And you know, I wasn't prepared for what they were doing. You see the videos and everything, and if it's like us, where you know, I figured it was going to be a lot more hodgepodge. I'm humbled by how organized, and how refined, and how productive these kids and Jake are. mm-hmm. and it's going to be really exciting to pursue future stuff with them. But that'll be done under the FT Connections umbrella.
Yeah, basically FT Connections. If you go to the Mesa RC Foam Fighters episode that we just released, mm-hmm. watch that, and then look at the comments. All the comments is there's a ton of comments of people are like, "I wish this was in my school," yeah. or you know, we want this. This is awesome. Cute. You know, that's the goal of FT Connections mm-hmm. is to bring it, you know, to more people, more schools, yep. more not just schools but clubs, churches, everything.
Yeah, and we say it so many different times that the planes are not our first passion. People are our first yes. passion, and the planes are a tool to connect with people in different mm-hmm. ways. And Lee is a great guy on our team, and I want him to, you know, come from his words to really speak it. But
we'll be doing a podcast that's a little bit more geared around FT yeah. Connections, and
hopefully take some calls too.
Yeah, and the plans, and maybe we can even ask for voicemails about FT Connections.
Yeah,
that would be awesome for Lee. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Mesa RC Foam Fighters are helping set up the foundation because yes. Jake and his program over there has mm-hmm. such a sturdy foundation, and he's more than willing and happy to help spread it.
Yeah.
It's just been a pleasure working with those guys.
Let's just say they're not helping, they are the foundation.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's yeah. the beautiful thing about it. I can't stress what a blessing he's been to us. And the fact that he's going to be working with us in the future, still being a teacher, still doing his first passion, which is educating kids. But what he's done is just second to none
yeah.
in the educational environment, and partnering him and Lee together, it's going to be a real powerhouse.
Yeah, actually, I think you were saying that the some of the faculty or the school's principal or whatever, when yeah. you showed up, they thought you were going to steal Jake
yeah,
away.
It was so funny. We just wanted to see what he was doing. And they're like, "We really love Jake being here. And
you please
just,
don't take him."
Yeah, you can just tell there's this underlying tone, like, "Please don't take him from us." It's like, "We would never take him from you. We want to, you know, celebrate what the school's doing." And
yeah.
they gave him a lot of resources and a lot of trust.
Yeah.
Because to say, "Yeah, I want to go ahead and use these foam airplanes as an educational tool for kids." It sounds like on the surface like a crazy thing, but the funniest thing is when you see how he does it, I'm biased, yes, but I can't imagine a better vehicle to do what he's doing.
Yeah,
because mm-hmm. you're conquering the laws of gravity, you're using physics, you're using design, you're using engineering, CAD, development, even business model is demonstrated
art,
in there.
Art
you got it.
Creative stuff.
It's so overwhelming to see what they're doing. And yeah, can't wait to have that podcast.
So, yeah, stay tuned for the podcast. Mm-hmm. If you have questions concerning Mesa Foam Fighters mm-hmm. or FT Connections, you can leave us a voicemail, and, yeah. and we'll play it on the podcast when we do the FT
Maybe
Connections.
Maybe we can even get Jake Marshall on the phone and have him kind of tapped in.
Do a segment. Yeah, that's great.
That'd be really, mm-hmm. really easy to do.
Yeah, so a lot of faces behind the scenes that are just incredible in our family. And I forgot to mute my phone. That's kind of awkward.
Man, we're not doing too good with the phone.
Yeah, I know.
I can't get it out of my pocket.
Well, let's see you bend that thing in half.
So speaking of new things at Flight Test.
They're not going to want to know this. Josh, don't talk about this.
Josh just got a giant iPhone, which replaced his old iPhone, which he had for, what, 3 years? 2.5 years?
Yeah.
Which 2.5 years of that, he had a cracked screen.
Cracked screen, shards of glass everywhere. Couldn't even see what was going on.
None of the buttons worked.
I'm cheap. I didn't want to do it. But, yeah, it's amazing. You know batteries last longer than 3 hours?
It's incredible. His lock button didn't work on his iPhone, so his screen would just stay on forever. So his battery would literally last 3 hours at max. So good news is he got a new phone. Bad news is
he
can't get it out of his pocket because it's gigantic.
Yes.
But, you know, I've been answering a lot more emails and a lot more text messages now because I can actually see them.
It makes you a better you, Josh.
Yes.
So, anyway, sorry to derail.
Oh,
ding. Where's the dinger?
Ding.
Moving on, stuff with the show. We got a lot of new stuff coming up with the show.
You're doing a great job with that, man.
It's not going to be too much different, but we are going to explore mm-hmm. some new directions as far as episode directions. Mm-hmm. One of which being, and you guys may have seen some teasers for it, but we want to do a segment called Will It Fly? And this is basically where we take something like the Avengers helicarrier mm-hmm. and actually put it to the test and actually see. Where are you going, Austin?
Continue. I'll be right back.
Let's go to the body.
So, yeah, basically taking a concept like the helicarrier and putting it to the test, see mm-hmm. if we can actually make it fly and perform like it does in the movie. And it doesn't necessarily, it's not always going to be a movie. It could be a video game. It could mm-hmm. be anything, pop culture. And the idea of this is not only is it going to be entertaining and a great learning process for us to see how to build these things, but also we're trying to get more people in the hobby. Mm-hmm. That's the end goal. And doing these kind of videos that not only hobbyists relate to, but also whether it's, I don't know, comic book nerds or video game nerds or whatever it may be, not just nerds, or, you know, we're going to try to do all kinds of different stuff that are super relevant in today's society and try to bring more people into the flight test community and see if we can
hopefully inspire them and open their eyes to what RC flight is and all the benefits. And you can fascinate them with the airplanes, but then they quickly realize it's something much bigger, and that's what's special.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a really cool format. And also, I think our intent is, in things that are repeatable, we're going to try to put up plans for free.
That way
people can
most
recreate
definitely.
It. So say, what's the one we're working on right now?
The helicarrier?
The helicarrier's out there, yeah. Are we talking about the one that we're actually looking to...
Oh, the Hunger Games thing?
Hunger Games, yeah.
Spoil that one, too.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. I'm not sure about that one, though, if it's going to fly or not.
Yeah, I have...
That's the whole point of the episode.
It is no vertical stabilizers.
I have solutions. We're doing a build-off on this one, or at least we're going to try to. Or one of us, me... We'll probably wash out and it'll be one, but...
I'm pretty sure they're both going to crash. Yeah. What happens.
We're going to try to create that, but ideally, in a perfect world, we try to recreate it, take the goods, the bads, put the plans up so other people can either pick it up where we left off and perfect it, or recreate that experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's if it's repeatable, definitely we'll put the plans up. And I'm sure projects in the future, there are going to be huge to-dos, and it's not going to be common materials or anything like that, so... We'll play by ear with that. But yeah, I'm super excited about it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So let us know if you guys have any ideas, if you want to see Flying Millennium Falcon or something.
I want to make a Flying Baymax. I took the kids to see that movie. I love that movie.
Something from your favorite movie or video game or comic book or whatever it may be. Let us know. Drop us a voicemail or comment on YouTube or stuff like anything like that. Actually, the idea originated from...
You're going to fill my inbox.
Email Peter at...
Give him his personal number, too.
I already get enough emails from you guys.
And he loves everyone.
He loves them.
I'm going to strangle someone.
That's his love language, by the way, just so you know. When he says he wants to hug you all the time. Yeah.
But yeah, the idea for that concept came from a YouTube channel, if you guys haven't checked it out already. It's called Man at Arms. And... a little bit different hobby, but this guy is a blacksmith by trade, and he—I think his main business originally was he would make props for movies. He's based out of California.
I think he still does that.
Yeah, he still does that. He says it in the intro to the show, but he's done like over 200 feature films and stuff like that. But his YouTube show that they have—it's called Man at Arms—and I think the YouTube channel itself is called Awe Me, A W E M E. And basically, what they do is they take weapons or swords or something from like a video game or a movie, like the Hobbit sword from Lord of the Rings or something like that, and he tries to put it to the test and see if it actually could operate as a real weapon. So that Final Fantasy gigantic sword that weighed like 100 pounds, he did Thor's hammer, and he actually filled it with lead so it couldn't be picked up by off the ground. Actually, it was pretty cool because it was hollow. He built it hollow so he could lift it, and they did a bunch of slow-mo videos in the episode, so it shows him lifting it, but after they were done doing those videos, he filled it with lead so nobody else could ever lift it.
That's awesome.
But yeah, it's a pretty cool show, so check that out, and like I said, let us know if you guys have any ideas for the Will It Fly episodes, which are going to be coming soon.
Yeah, that was just kind of the inspiration for the style of it, but that is a really cool channel.
It's one of my favorites, yeah.
And just basically just make something that isn't necessarily repeatable, but is very inspirational and honestly just fun to watch. That's kind of the goal.
Yep.
So
cool. So let's say we've talked about FT Extra a little, connections a little bit, new show formats. Where do we go from here?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about, we got some voicemails to get to, which we'll tackle here in a second. Just wanted to point out a really cool article that I saw on the site that Flying Monkey did. And it's the title of the article is Get Your Articles Published. And so if you have an interesting project you're working on, or if you have a design that you're working on or something, because obviously we're not the only people out there creating stuff and making stuff, or if you have an interesting tip, for something like that for the community. Flying Monkey did an awesome, awesome article on how to get published, what the best practices are for making just a top-notch article. And it's actually, we actually have talked about this on the podcast before, best practices for an article, that sort of thing. But it's never been written down in a really nice format. And so actually it's kind of like interesting just because he does the article on how to get published in the format that he suggests that you do an article. So while you're reading the article, you're actually consuming it in the format that's going to get you, make you most likely to get published.
I just dropped my new phone.
And actually, I it won't be the last time.
Nope. Got a case this time.
And actually, I get lots of emails from people, you know, like, hey, I got this really cool project I'm working on. You know, can we get it on the show? And you know, sometimes the answer to that is maybe, but honestly, a lot of times the answer is no. It's not because we don't want it on the show, but the reality of it is we only have 8 episodes a month. And those get chewed up very, very quickly.
Yeah. And I'd say 90% of all of our episodes, probably even more than that, 95% of our episodes is based on community, community requests.
Right. And so when you have, you know, 10% of people asking for this kind of episode, that's the kind of episode we're going to make. And that doesn't mean your product isn't awesome. Doesn't mean your project isn't cool. But so as what I tell people now is I tell them, you know, if you make a really high quality article, make your own video, insert your own pictures, make your own description, I'll help you promote that article, you know, if it's up to par. And so I've had a few people do that now with tremendous success.
Yeah.
Because, you know, those articles, just like our videos, get thousands and thousands of views. And, you know, we don't need to be involved just for you to use the Flight Test platform to promote what your project is or to promote what your, you know, your design is or whatever it is.
The whole E in the elevating the world of flight is we want to give people a platform where their talents and their amazing skills can shine.
Exactly. I mean, we have, you know, some of our articles have, you know, 50,000, you know, views or more. And that's a lot of people. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of people that you've exposed to your project. And so if people find it interesting, they'll definitely find you. And that's a great way to do that. Mm-hmm. So I strongly encourage people to do that. And now, thanks to Flying Monkey, when I send that email to somebody, I can send that article with them, with that email, and say, here you go. Here's what you need to do. If you make an article of this quality, it's going to have just as much impact as, you know, if Flight Test were to do a video on it. Yeah. So
that's cool. Thanks, Flying Monkey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you, Fred. So, okay, I think that's it. I figured real quick we'll do, since we've put out so much content on it already, but we haven't done an episode, I figured we'd do a quick update on the helicarrier, on where that's at and what we're doing with it. So, Peter, do you want to share a little bit about that? Or actually, I can share just kind of where we're at with it as far
as... Peter do it.
Okay.
Peter, you do it.
Okay, it sucks. It's underpowered.
All right, awesome. You do it.
Yeah, all right. Well, basically, we took it to Horizon Indoor and had a blast with it. But one thing we did realize is that it's a touch underpowered. It could deal with a lot more power because we don't just want to lift mini airplanes. We want to lift something like kind of stupid. You know, like we want to really push it.
We want to lift Josh Scott.
Exactly. So
that was actually a request in one of the emails I've gotten.
Yeah, we're not going to do that, by the way.
I actually got in touch with Monto RC, who were using their motors for the helicarrier.
The Avroto.
The Avrotor motors. And talked to the owner there at the company, and he loved what we were doing with the helicarrier, and he was a huge fan of it. And so he's going to be sending us 8 more. And so we're actually going to make the helicarrier into an X8. And get a lot more power out of it, and I think really make that episode awesome.
Yeah, because I want to do loops with it. I'm pretty sure Josh is not happy about that.
No, I want you to do loops with it too.
I want you to do loops once we've got everything we need for the episode.
Okay, yeah. We need a closing.
And then maybe we'll show the attempts on something called FT Extra.
Exactly. And we're going to be doing a lot. We actually have an episode concept that's coming up fairly soon where we're going to be lifting some stuff and doing that. So I think that having, you know, a partnership with Monto. Yeah, Monto and Avroto is going to be really big in the future. And it's actually cool because they're actually based out of Ohio as well.
Yeah, those are pretty slick motors. And actually, I think I saw a review. Was it RC Test Flight?
Oh, yeah. That's actually the whole reason I bought them. So if Monto's listening, if you gave him those motors, that probably was a good idea.
There you go.
Because I wouldn't have bought them because of that.
Yeah, we're good friends with Daniel. We always look forward to his videos. But
he's got a deep voice.
He's got a great voice.
So today we're going to stuff on this airplane.
No, Daniel, keep it up, man. I love your videos. And check out his review of the motors, because he goes a little bit more detailed about like specs and stuff like that, and puts them to the test.
Pretty humbling, you know, the tests he did do on it and stuff, and then also the way he demonstrated was awesome.
Yeah,
he did. He even did loops and rolls with the giant X8 or hashtag copter with Avro motors. That was crazy to watch.
So, yeah, we're going to throw a Moto RC logo on the carrier, and, yeah, we're excited to work with them in the future. And actually, I wouldn't mind having somebody from there on the podcast to talk about their technology and their motors.
Correct
me
if I'm wrong. They're close to us, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, they're in Columbus. I think they're in Columbus. I know they're in Ohio.
We should
Columbus
put Max on the helicarrier. That's 24 pounds.
We could do that. I'm pretty sure we would get, like, complained about, though.
We'll make him a seatbelt.
Make him a 5-point harness.
Yeah. And then put the Max camera.
Exactly. Oh,
you can fly him around, Josh. I'm not touching that.
UPS is coming.
UPS, wahoo!
Ooh, I wonder if it's the samples.
We got samples.
Yeah. Anyways, what was I going to say? I was going to say something. Sorry.
That's okay.
Derail.
Ding. Tell you what, while Alex is thinking of what he was going to talk about, let's play a couple voicemails. All right, this first one's from Ted, who is a self-professed noob.
So my name's Ted, and I'm a bit of a noob. I've been flying airplanes for about a year now, and I love it. It's really, really, really fun, and I've gotten a lot of knowledge from you guys, but I did have something that I thought I could add for your I did something stupid this week. I'm charging a couple of new cells, 3S 2200s, and, you know, they're kind of cheap ones, but, you know, I figure they'll be okay. I put them in my charger, and I go to charge them. You know, I think I'm careful about charging, but, you know, I'm not one of these crazy guys who builds the whole thing with the ammo box, and, you know, I definitely don't have cinder blocks and sheets of cement set up, which might have been a good idea. So I go to charge this battery, and the battery's fine. I hook the battery up, but I have a slightly cluttered workbench. And when I plug it in and I turn it on to charge, there's a huge spark. I mean, I thought the battery blew up. There's like flames on my bench. I pull the plug out on the battery charger, and what I realize is the pigtail that the thing comes with has got, you know, like 8 different connectors for different kinds of batteries it goes to. 2 of those different connectors actually have exposed leads, parts that stick out. So any odd little item sitting on your workbench, like I have a bit of, created a short. Big old flames, and yeah, I thought my battery had blown up. But actually, what I really needed to do was go around and make rubber caps for all the leads on my charger. So just something I wanted to throw out there, and hopefully it'll prevent anybody else from starting a fire like I almost did. Love the show, love the podcast, have a lot of fun listening to it, and I just really appreciate all the knowledge you guys are spreading around out there, and the really nice format that you do it in. It's very, very fun and easy to listen to. Keep up the great work, and I'll keep on listening. Thank you.
Thanks, Ted.
I like Ted.
Funny story. I like Ted, too.
Actually, Ted's voicemail reminded me of something I showed Alex the other day. Is actually, there's somebody selling, I think for XT60 and Deans, they're selling plugs, and that fit snugly right over the top of the battery connector. And they have green ones for full and red ones for empty.
Oh, nice.
So you can keep some in your battery case, and once it's empty, you know, pop that empty cap on it, and once it's charged, pop a full cap on it.
The hardware store sells caps for the end of, like, conduit or something. The little rubber caps, and you can use those too.
That's what Sander was using from Immersion.
That's where we saw it.
But there's actually something better to do. Just don't buy those things in general.
You're talking about the combo wire?
Yeah, the combo wires. Those are actually not a very good thing because of that. Some have so many exposed ends with the standard 3.5 jacks and all.
If you think about it, if you're charging a Deans and you have that combo end with the Deans hanging on it, that's two exposed pins.
And plus, if you got like a 4-play charger, you could inadvertently grab the wrong one, plug it in there, and screw things up, like with a 3S and a 2S all in the one. So definitely don't recommend this. Just get the single ones. They're usually better.
It's a good tip.
Good tip.
All right. Thanks, Ted.
Thanks, Ted. Next voicemail.
Hey, I'm Drew A. from Columbus, Ohio. I saw you guys at Flight Fest, and I was wondering, building is a really intimidating thing, and I was thinking if I could maybe just trace. I was going to start by tracing out the Mini Scout and then trying to build it with the plans on another piece of foam and then comparing and see what I get. But it would be really nice if you guys could bring tips on building or maybe on one of the mini series since they're pretty small and probably a lot quicker to do. Maybe build it out, do it, and show it step by step so people can understand how to line up the plans. I would really like to thank you guys for what you're doing. It's great. It got me into the hobby, and now I'm trying to get my mom into it. So thank you guys so much for what you're doing. See ya.
Thanks, Drew.
I like Drew.
That's awesome.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but we have an episode on laying out the plants and stuff, don't we?
We have. There's some really great articles on printing the plants.
There's an article and then a really good forum post on on free plants.
So put that in the show notes form.
Yeah.
So, hey, and Drew, one thing, too, is I tell a lot of people, I know, like, with the Scout's a great plane to make your first build, because if you can build that, you can build any of our planes. The one thing I'll tell you is, like, the scallops on the end, don't get all concerned about making those small details. You can go ahead and just cut straight.
Yeah.
And get those details later. Always use a sharp knife. You know, a dull knife's actually more dangerous because you're going to have to be going through it multiple times.
Yeah.
And if you're going to do something like a scallop, rather than starting at the point where the scallop starts, actually start before that and actually go from the waist foam and cut to your line and then drag it beyond it. Mm-hmm. Don't start and stop at the lines, and you'll be amazed how much easier it is to cut very nice intricate curves and things like that. Also, whittle, you know, say you have a constant round, like on the top turtle deck. Instead of trying to take that in one cut, just do a nice curve starting from the waist foam, kind of going along the lines, and then let it wander off, and then do another cut, and then do another cut.
Yeah.
And make sure it's not over your mom's kitchen table, or she'll not want to get in the hobby with you.
Yeah, they have the cut mats, and then also going back to what you said about sharp blade.
Yeah.
If you're using the standard X-Acto blade,
number 11,
I'm pretty sure you can get those in like packs of 100.
You can. Mm-hmm. They're about $20 for 100 of them.
Yeah.
20 cents a blade.
Definitely look into that, and don't hesitate to switch your blade out often. Yeah. Doesn't mean you have to throw them away, but having that sharp blade really does make a big difference.
And if you don't mind not using an X-Acto knife, I love the when I used to do auto body, I use a single edge razor blades. They look like rectangles.
Yeah.
But the ones I really like are the DeWalt style. They're like box cutter blades.
It's like a trapezoid.
Yeah. It's a parallelogram, but trapezoid looking thing.
Yeah, and I like those a lot because, in my opinion, they're easy for my hands to hold, and they don't roll like X-Acto knives like to roll on the tables and stuff. So they're bigger, you know, harder to drop on the floor and not, you know, fine and things like that.
I actually prefer the 12-point snap-on blades from Hobby King. Those really cheap plastic box cutters.
Okay.
With the 12 points. Those are actually really good, too, have.
Yeah.
Because I do a lot of my cutting with those beforehand.
You're talking about the ones that extend, right?
Yep.
Nice thing is if you're doing a project like Peter does, he extends it very far.
Like for Telecarrier, when I was making those ducts, that was cutting through 2-inch thick foam.
Yeah.
And you couldn't do it with the X-Acto knife, and you couldn't do it with the other stuff without making a huge mess.
Very dangerous.
Yeah, so that stuff, you just extend the blade out all the way and drag it at a very, very acute angle. That way you just kind of cleanly cut it without making a huge mess.
And what Peter said is absolutely true. With the acute angle, what he's talking about is instead of the blade, and I think we demonstrated it in the build video of the Scout, talking about the bevel, but it works with any kind of cut you do. Don't turn the blade 90 degrees to the material you're cutting. Turn it in as long of an angle as possible.
You want to try to cut like parallel to it, but with a little bit of angle going into it.
So say 10 degrees, you know, if you're going to put degrees on there, 90 being obviously right angle, you want it about 10 degrees. And that way you're using most of the blade. It's not going to get dull as quickly, and it's going to cut a lot smoother.
It cut like butter, because it just goes right through
like
it.
Butter. Did you set up a booby trap? I was laughing when you first started playing this, and there's a paperclip that like shot across the room.
I can't find it.
It's a paperclip bomb.
It just paperclip booby trap. So we weren't laughing at you, brother. We were laughing at Alex setting up. Oh, here it is. What is this?
Which, if you watch the video, you'll see it.
If you watch the video, you'll know that we are screwing around.
I love the fact that we can actually embrace this. Normally, we try to hide it. So now it's like, I saw in the video, we got to talk about it.
Can I do more research about FLIR cameras?
No.
Come on.
Give me your phone.
You got to pay attention.
No.
All right. I think we answered that pretty good.
Yeah.
Something that wasn't mentioned, please be careful with really sharp things.
And keep band-aids.
And don't bleed all over your baby blender like I did. That sounds weird.
Actually, I have the original cruiser prototype that you gave me.
Do you still have that?
Yeah, is your blood on it?
It's got Josh Bixler's blood on it.
Huge amount of blood on it. I really gashed myself on that sucker. Right on the wing, right?
Yep.
Just please be careful.
It's funny because when Alex came into our family, oh my gosh, it was like 3 months into when I came full-time, and you were hired around March, right?
Yeah.
And
March 18th.
It was the funniest thing because I was like, oh, this is a prototype. Take it home. And he'd get it flying, and he'd fly it. And then what, the FT-3D, the Bloody Wonder.
Spitfire.
The Spitfire. All those planes lived on with you, and I think you even still have a couple of them. The Spitfire you still have, right?
Yeah. It doesn't fly.
No. All right. I want to build another baby blender.
That's crazy.
You just stick it in the wall?
No, it went over there.
It goes far. All right, next
one. Quit joshing around.
Hi, Flight Test. This is Preston Jorgensen. I just was wondering if you guys would ever make your speed build kits a little cheaper, because as a kid, it's kind of hard to come by money, and you know, just to buy the airframe kit, like $30, 30 bucks or 40 bucks, plus the electronics, it comes out as a pretty decent amount of money, and it's kind of sometimes hard to get that much money for a person my age and where I live. So I was just wondering if you guys would ever make a cheaper speed build kit.
That's a very good question.
Yeah.
That's kind of honestly what we're trying to accomplish with the minis.
Well, actually, looking at the date of this voicemail, it's actually before the minis were released. Good. So,
yeah, we always want to be sensitive towards that. I mean, that's why we never hide the fact it's a buck worth of material. And then, you know, obviously what people are paying for is the convenience. Biggest thing is the laser time, the people to cut it. I don't know if people know, we have my amazing brother, Jim, and his wonderful wife, and my wife, and Miss Lindsay.
We have quite the team now.
We got an amazing team, but every kit that goes off, they all put their eyes on to make sure it's as good as possible. And it's not necessarily a very quick process. It's a one-off. I shouldn't say one-off, but one at a time, these things are being packaged, assessed. Because it's basically our thank you for supporting us. So we do want to make it as economical as possible, and the minis are definitely kind of where we're going. Instead of being $30, it's now $15. The electronics are cheaper, and I definitely challenge people. Our goal with the kits is to generate revenue to support us, but also is to get you over that initial hump building. Once you build it, then you're like, okay, I'm going to go ahead and try the next one. That's why I always say trace out your plans. If you're going to buy a kit, trace it out in raw foam, because then you can go back and you can cut it. We want to make creators out of you, not consumers. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of funny. As a business plan, it's kind of backwards. But I hope the minis is a little bit more in its price range, because the last thing we want to do is keep someone out of the hobby because of that.
Yeah, and going back to upcoming stuff for Flight Test, one thing that I forgot to mention too, it's just kind of relatable to this, is Flight Test Foam.
Yeah.
We have Flight
Test. It's coming down the pipeline.
We haven't given it a theme song yet, though.
Not yet. We'll get it.
Yeah.
But yeah, basically, we're working with Adams, who Adams makes the foam. Nothing's changing yet. We are looking to maybe work with him in the future on kind of making our own custom foam. But
yeah, waterproof.
As of right now, we're just kind of rebranding the foam, make it Flight Test Foam. And more importantly, we're going to be distributing that worldwide.
Yeah.
Just to make it a little bit more readily available. It's tough for us. When we first started out on this, we didn't even realize that this stuff isn't really available overseas.
Yeah,
and
actually in some towns, like we were in New York, and they're like, we can't get this stuff.
Yeah, even here, I mean, we have dollar stores around. We can go buy a couple sheets here and there, but when we were trying to buy boxes at a time, we even had trouble with our wholesaler that was, you know, supplying us.
Yeah, Great Lakes. Sorry. I'm sorry, I'm not bitter about that.
I would be bitter if I were you.
Talking to you, K Burpee.
But we...
Sorry.
Anyways.
We're leaving that in.
Was that the angry side of Josh?
That was. That was the angriest I've ever seen.
It brought on a great solution, because I realized
we should be thanking them.
Yeah, thank you.
Because he made us realize that we can buy it ourselves.
Yeah, well, ultimately what it brought on, and it's also thank you guys. We were buying so much just to make the kits, but we had to get a reliable source of it, and also to control quality. Because a lot of times, you know, you go to Dollar Tree and it's warped, it's creased, it's not the best quality. We want to be able to get to people where they can build. And now, you know, when people build, they don't just build one plane. They're building constantly with this stuff.
Yeah.
So it makes sense to buy a box, and we want to make that happen. And Alex, you did a great job with the artwork, because we wanted to communicate what we, you know, what we stand for and who we are. It's not only about building a plane, but it's about sharing a memory.
Yeah.
And you put that right on the box, and on the back of the box...
it's a cool gremlin illustration.
Cute. And it actually won a national Addy.
Yeah.
Which I think you guys have probably seen it on some of our videos. And
yeah, we give away screen prints years back. It's been a while now, but a really, really cool illustration that we haven't really used much. So it's kind of like an edit perk. If you go in, if you buy a box with your buddies, whoever gets it shipped to their house gets the artwork off the back of the box.
Big artwork.
It's cool. And it's two color and it's, we're pretty proud of it.
Our goal is when we went down to Europe, like you said, we had no clue how much people couldn't get it. And they were spending, you know, I think one guy's like, yeah, we get this for like €6 a sheet or something. And
spending more than Depron.
It was heavy. Yeah. It was hard to work with. Didn't do a very good job. And this stuff does a much better job. In the future, our goal is to have it, instead of just the paper, have it laminated with a waterproof.
Mm-hmm.
So things last longer, because Peter is definitely right. The things Peter builds are meant to last. You know, my stuff is somewhat disposable.
Yeah, but that's okay though for like the beginners and stuff, because that's exactly what you want.
And when you look at the big picture, really every plane's disposable, because every plane is eventually, if you fly it, you're eventually going to crash it.
They all have expiration dates, so you just don't find them until they expire.
Yes. Got it.
So going back to the voicemail, that's another solution that's coming down the pipe. Bring the cost down quite a bit. Mm-hmm. This phone will be a lot more readily available, and you can scratch build for pennies.
So correct me if I'm wrong, you're going to be able to go to our store, and you're going to be able to buy a box of Flight Test Foam.
Store, but also we're talking with a couple really great hobby companies too, because that way you can slowly walk into a local hobby shop and pick up a case of it or a couple sheets of it. It's going to be individually marked too.
Yeah, one thing we didn't mention too is with the foam, we're going to be distributing the elements. Mm-hmm. So like control horns, firewalls, all those like tidbits that you know aren't as common or require like specialized cutting on plywood.
Firewalls, control horns, all that stuff.
And that stuff. I don't want to say the name of the website, but it might rhyme with Glamazon.
don't go to Glamazon.com.
Amazon?
You're talking about eBay.
Yes, it's got to be eBay. No, they're could be carrying our products very soon.
That's cool. And our goal is to make it as cheap as possible, because if that happens, also there's some solutions for overseas that'll make things really easy. We want to get this stuff in the hands of people so they can do it. I saw an amazing video. I showed it to you. It brought a tear to my eye. It was a father and son building a simple sword in another country, because I couldn't understand the language they were speaking in. I'm guessing it was probably French.
Oh, yeah, because they said...
I recognize a couple of the words.
Yeah,
it looks French.
I think it was French.
But it was an awesome, quick... Maybe can we actually put the link to that? Is that okay on the show notes?
I would assume so, if you can get it to me.
I'll get it to you, because I forwarded it to a lot of different people, but it's exactly what our heart is, and it was a father and son scratch building.
It's a time lapse of their build process, and a young kid with his dad, and they were working together on this simple soar, and then they go out and fly it, and it was pretty cool.
Beautiful, powerful video, and it was for him. It was for the kid, and the kid was flying at the end and did a great job, but that's our heart, and we want to make sure people have the materials to do it, and the elements and the raw materials.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be fathers and sons. It always can be, but
say that a lot.
Daughters and moms, or brothers and sisters, or
great uncles and
boys and girls.
Well,
second cousins.
On the Mesa video, we saw there was five young ladies there, and they were powerhouses. They really designed and built. I don't know about flying yet. I think they were all green there, but they were awesome. So this is no longer a guy's hobby.
Definitely.
I'm sorry, I say that a lot though.
All right, well let's take another voicemail here before we call it quits.
Hi guys, it's Todd from Southeast Ohio, and I just wanted to tell you that I recently picked up a used Spectre V2 from Stone Blue. They were getting rid of some old ones, and I had to rebuild the horizontal and vertical stabilizer, and they had used Corplast for their material. I ended up buying that Corplast from Lowe's. It cost me $3 or $4 for a yard sign, but then I was noticing in campaign season here that all the politicians' signs are made out of Corplast. So I just picked up four by six sheets of the stuff, plus a whole bunch of campaign signs from one of our local politicians who just had them stacked by their house ready for disposal. So Corplast is obviously plastic and very durable, and it's free if you ask one of the politicians. Just say, I want to take them off your hands for building material. It also might be cool if you could do an episode on perhaps fabricating an airfoil or an entire airplane out of Corplast to see how that would work. But just some ideas. Love your show and all you do. Take care. Bye.
We actually used that stuff for a video for the paintball episode.
That was that's an oldie but a goodie.
Oldie but a goodie.
That's a great idea, though. Obviously, don't steal the politician signs.
No. Don't like that. You'll get on the news.
I believe he...
There's a YouTube video about that, actually, too.
I believe he obtained them legally, but yes.
They actually make... I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
No, go ahead.
Okay, they make... some people are making their power pods out of core plastic.
I saw that, too, yeah.
And very
I
think, good.
Was it Crafty Dan?
Crafty Dan, I think, has done it. A couple people have done it. The only thing is, if you're going to do that, reinforce where the skewers go through your fuselage, because if you have like a nose-in dive, it's just going to tear the tar out of your fuselage. I'd much rather build a new power pod, and that's kind of the reason why we didn't put more bracing on the power pod. Mm-hmm. But if you reinforce your fuselage, especially the guys that don't crash much, I'd be excluded from that list. Reinforce the fuselage area, and then you'll have a more robust airplane. Take a credit card, glue it on the inside walls, and then tape over it, and then drill a hole through it.
And just
or buy our discs.
And just for the record, we weren't laughing at the nice voicemail. We were laughing at shenanigans in studio. Okay. So,
but yeah, well, also with that too, there's also these things called SPADs from back in the glow days. Mm-hmm. Speaking of airframes, simple plastic airplane designs. Mm-hmm. People have actually been flying those things around for the longest amount of time. Yeah.
There's people still flying those.
Yeah.
Yeah, the original air cores were kind of core plus.
Yep.
And they used contact cement to put them together.
All right, let's. We got three more voicemails, so let's power through them. I always feel bad when leave ones unplayed.
I think
so.
We shot the paperclip booby trap away, and yes, so we won't be giggling anymore.
It's far, far away.
Which, right. If you're interested in that, check out the video of this podcast.
Video.
And the build video, too.
Hey, Flight Test. This is Joel Cannon here from Orlando, Florida, also known as JACRC on the forums. Just want to give a shout out to Peter. Your foam and tape method that you use comes in extremely handy. Just got back from flying my FTU flyer on its maiden, and needless to say, half a roll of packing tape later, it still flies like a champ. Now, I just did have a quick question for you. At what point would you say that an aircraft is not flyable any longer? Just because mine is, the wing seems to be in good working order, it just needs a little bit of nose repair. But what would you say the end all of an aircraft really is? Thanks, have a great day, and fly safe.
I guess I'd say when the contest director comes up and starts yelling at you when your plane crashes in front of everyone. we were doing that JR too. You remember that thing with the circle plane?
Yes.
The smaller one, we kept taping back together, and I don't know who was flying it, but I think my friend was flying it, but it started doing something really, really weird, and it smashed right next to the pits.
Actually, the circle broke, and then it broke at the top of the circle, and then we taped a mini scout to the top of the circle.
Twin engine circle plane mini scout.
But it did fly.
Yeah, when contest directors start yelling at you, some of them just yell because they like to hear
your
voice.
Yeah, I know. Like
amplified air. But in this case, I guess it was somewhat legitimate. Mm-hmm. Also, when it's not able to get into the air, I think it's not flyable anymore.
Yep. If you have to throw it and it won't maintain altitude, it's probably time to pitch it.
I'll tell you what, FT Flyers, though, they're robust.
Mm-hmm. I still have the original one that I built when I...
Do you?
Yeah.
Lee.
When I first got the job, so it's over a year and a half old now.
And they get warped and they get twisted and broken, and they still keep flying.
I think the barbecue skewers were like, their holes were like all ruined.
About
so
the size
I,
of dimes.
I glued the power pod in, and then I cut it off like a couple times and glued it back on. My dad still flies it.
Oh. Well, Lee has one that he affectionately calls the scap. and it has no rigidity. I mean, inside the paper is just jello, I think. I think all the foam's been bent and damaged so bad. But he loves taking it and moving his elevator really erratically, and it looks like it's flapping through the air because the wings are so poorly supported now. But it still flies great. So
hey, I think I've heard you say this before, Josh. If you can find the CG...
Anything can fly.
Anything can fly, right?
And at this point, all the guys at RC groups are just screaming.
Well, that's okay.
Yes.
All right, we'll play next voicemail here.
Hey, Flight Test. What's up? This is Josh Jones from Seattle, Washington. And I just want to say I really appreciate you guys talking about your failures. A few weeks ago, you guys talked about one of you trying to fly a 3D RC helicopter in your living room, which sounds crazy to me, but... At the same time, it seems like something I would totally do if I got a new toy and I really wanted to play with it. And I think the reality is that you guys are brutally willing to be honest. Brutal honesty is the term I would use for it, about your failures. And as someone very new to the hobby who just got into mini quads and is flying, I have to say I really appreciate your guys' honesty. and just what it adds to the show. Because I had kind of an epic failure in my house, so to speak, with an MXP 230. I flew a quadcopter into myself a little bit, and I'm fine. But hearing that you flew a 3D helicopter in the living room, didn't know what you were doing, and just kind of made a mistake, and recognized that as a mistake, has helped keep me in the hobby. I think I was ready to be done. And just hearing you talk about that reinstilled the reality that people love to fly. And there is something amazing in flight that can happen if we're smart about it. And that's really what it comes down to, is being smart about it. And I think you guys are very well balanced of being smart about it and just the knowledge. And I appreciate the fact that you guys are willing to admit your failures and admit when you have done things that aren't so bright, but come back from it and say, hey, this is a really good product, or this is a really good thing to do. Don't do this, do that. It's just nice to have a little bit of a bearing or a little bit of a compass. And I think that you guys really are that in a lot of ways for the RC hobby. And I appreciate you and thank you very much for what you guys do. Flight Test is awesome. Bixler's badass. And that's all I have to say.
Thanks, Josh. That was a great voicemail.
I love his name, too.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good one.
The one thing you can always count on us to do is always screw up and fail.
Yeah. So,
hey, that's how I got this far. Failure breeds success. And yeah. Success breeds more
failure. That's when you really learn.
Yeah.
And we learn often.
Okay. Actually,
go ahead. I'm sorry, Peter.
Huh? I was just going to say what? It. Oh. On that... from that... most recent episode that we did, the Let's Fly from Europe that we released just a little bit ago, I noticed that one of the top rated comments was that it's just, I forget exactly what it was, but it's something along the lines of, it's just so refreshing to see that every now and then even the pros crash, you know, because like a lot of times like the videos that get shared the most as far as RC goes, like it's people like, you know, like Sharpu or whoever, like just doing like awesome things and like, you know, flying awesome and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I could see how like somebody could kind of get down on themselves and be like, man, guess who's never going to fly like that? Me. You know what I mean? And so I totally relate to that, that, you know, it is cool to see that every now and then pros crash. Not the word pros, but
no.
Yeah, I don't know who they
are. I think the definition is someone that gets paid to fly. So I guess we can say professionals, but
there you go,
we don't fly like, we're no Joe Smiths.
There you go.
But the, you know, the neat thing is I remember flying with my dad and with family, with my kids. All the good flights, all the ones that end with total success, I don't really remember those. But when you were a racer playing across or flying one through your dad's hangar or, you know, have to apologize fly, about a certain dent.
Fly
or
a 3D helicopter in your living room.
Yeah.
I think that was Chris. I think that was... Chris from Caglione. I listened to that podcast.
Oh, yeah, yeah, he did. I was thinking, because I did that, too.
I did it, too.
Who hasn't?
I've done that, too. I hit myself in the shin. It hurt really bad. Pro.
I was at MCPX.
That's hilarious.
There's still a circle in the ceiling where it chopped all the
little nubbies off the ceiling. The biggest thing I will say is don't ever put a multi-rotor in your wife's hair.
Not recommended by recommended 10 out of 10 husbands.
Doesn't make him a fan. Even the nanos, you know, it's pretty funny. If your wife is in the room, do not ever power anything electronic that takes to the air because it will attack her.
All right, well, let's get to the last voicemail here. Let's call it quits.
Hi, guys. It's Liam from Southampton, England. Just finished listening to, I think it was podcast 45. I'm a few podcasts behind now. And heard about Peter looking for new ideas with the planes to do. Now, I'm not sure how possible this is, but the way everything's going at the moment, everyone's trying to be greener. Kind of thinking you should try a hybrid plane, maybe like a gas or glow motor powering some kind of generator and then powering just the propulsion of the plane. Probably not so sensible to do it for the controls, so put a LiPo in there as well. But yeah, anything you can kind of come up with that. Once again, thanks for doing all the great content and videos. I enjoy it, say, especially on my drive to work, and gives me something to think about rather than just listening to the dull old radio. Thanks again, guys. Keep up the good work.
Thank nice. You, brother.
It's a good idea.
What do you think, Peter?
Actually, some of those are actually pretty doable, too. Like, some of the things I worked on for NASA, like this thing called the Grease Lightning 10, the real full-size one, I think, was supposed to have, like, a diesel generator in it to run the electric motors and all that. So it would be interesting to play with, but that's more, I think, above our pay grade as far as the size of the models go.
Yeah.
Those are something big, like the size of a school bus.
Once you get up past the 30-foot wingspan, you can break a lot of rules. You can use a generator that's big enough to power batteries and stuff, but...
When you're doing 8 episodes a month, you don't really have time to spend on an episode like that. But
I remember holding my dad's Taylor Craft had a, and he took it off because of the weight, but he had a little generator, you know, that sat underneath the landing gear that would windmill, you know, as you're flying through and kind of charge your battery and everything. And I remember picking this thing up thinking, oh my gosh. And he's like, yeah, it's made to power these simple electronics. I'm like, wow. I couldn't believe the amount of energy and weight it took. But, you know, maybe there's a way to do it. You know a lot about solar technology, because I think you're going to help me solarize my treehouse I built with my kids.
but that's just, you know, general run-of-the-mill, like, less than 10% efficiency solar cells. I've seen some of that stuff, but you got to have a big budget to get anything with decent performance out of it, and that's, like, for the higher-paying guys.
That's why the solar flying plane is, like, 45 feet long or something, right?
Yeah, the Helios.
Yeah.
That thing ended up in the ocean, too, apparently. Yep. I saw pictures of that. It was cool. But I remember seeing, speaking of hybrids too, there's this pentacopter. Basically had like a big glow motor in the center and four smaller electric motors to control just the orientation and stability. But most of the lifting was done with a big gas motor, which is kind of cool to see.
That's a really good concept. I like that.
Simple, effective,
inspirational.
Noisy.
I would honestly like to take a stroll through the woods and build a plane out of what you find in there.
That would be a cool episode. I want to do that too. Actually, an empty island would be cool for that.
Drop us off with a bag of electronics and let's see what happens. This has been fun.
I'll make a multi-copter out of the corpses.
I want to look at Dave though, because he's still rolling around in his rolly chair filming us.
How's your arms, Dave?
Doing good.
Well, we want to thank everyone for listening. If you have a moment, please go over to iTunes and leave us a quick rating and review. You know, give us what we deserve. If we deserve 1 star or if we deserve 5 stars or 4.5 stars. We do read those reviews, and I think there's a little over 200 reviews there now.
Yeah, we really care about your opinion.
Yeah, definitely. And so we use it to improve the show. If you like the video podcast, let us know. It might be something we do more in the future. We just kind of wanted to see how it went. We never tried it before, so we're all about trying new things.
Yep.
So thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll see you next time.
See you next time.
Thanks, guys.